And welcome, friends, to this, the Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. And we want to welcome you to the Wednesday broadcast of the Grace Hour. Friends, thank you so much for joining us. Hope you'll stay with us for the full broadcast, about 45 minutes or so. And today we will be looking at, well, asking the question, does God always act according to his good pleasure? And we'll, again, address this theme and subject, of course, as we always do here at the Grace Hour, from a biblical perspective, and hopefully provide some answers to that question and related questions to this theme as well. I do want to, once again, thank you for taking the time to join us. I want to remind you that if you are listening to us, watching us online, share your thoughts with us. If you've got a comment, you'd like to make a comment, ask a question, please feel free to do so. Let's go to the chat, and we will receive those comments and questions here in our studio, and we'll get things going here in just a couple of moments. We do want to remind our listeners to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more, and share about the broadcast to your friends and people that you know would benefit from listening to the Grace Hour. My name is Pastor John Love. I'm joined in the studio today by Pastor Barry Quirk. We'll be your hosts for today's Grace Hour broadcast. And again, we're beginning with the question, Pastor Barry, does God always act according to his good pleasure?
Wow, the question of the day. It's a good topic. I'm sure glad that I learned at an early age that God's a lot smarter than I am and that I can trust his ways to be better than my ways. So let's hope that God does a lot more acting on his own will and a lot less acting on our will. You know, a beautiful verse in Proverbs chapter 19, 21, just to start off, there are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. And, you know, whether we'll get into the nuances maybe of that question, but whether we, I guess it boils down to how much do we trust God? You know, how much do we trust that God's ways are not our ways? And as a matter of fact, you know, in reading that verse, you know, I was reading Isaiah 55, 8, and 9, and just it kind of hit me afresh here that for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. But then he says this, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. It's not even close. Right? It's not like there's a little separation. You know, we have our ways and then God has his ways and it's debatable on who's better off in this situation. He says, it's like the heavens above the earth. That's the difference in our thought process. And, you know, that his ways are, and I like this thought, maybe I'm kind of jumping in early here, but the thought about his volition versus his will. You know, or his volition versus his desires. You know, what does he desire for us? And then what does he force upon us? And does God operate, you know, does he act according to his good pleasure? I think ultimately, yes, he does. But in that, there's a lot of leeway for us to act in ways that are not his good pleasure. Mm-hmm. And the results are also available, you know, as a response to how we act.
Yeah, when you think of God's good pleasure and his will, it reaches a point when it reaches us mm-hmm. where we have a free volition. Yes. And, you know, is God going to override the free volition of mankind? Is he going to just simply ignore it and you know, step out of, you know, force us to step out of the way and say, well, this is my will and you will submit to it, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
It's amazing to think that God gives us the option where we can embrace the good pleasure of his will and trust him with our lives or, in effect, say, no, thank you.
Right.
It's a question of godliness versus ungodliness. Mm-hmm. Godliness, of course, is dependence upon God. Ungodliness is independence of God. And so many people in our world today choose to be independent of God, yeah. almost as if to say, even if there is a God in their estimate, I got this.
Yes.
I can do this.
Very short-sighted.
Life on my own.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because they're missing out on what the Bible refers to as the good pleasure of his will. And I think Psalm 84, verse 11 gives us some insight into what that really means. It says that God will give grace and he will give glory. No good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly.
Yes.
I mean, that should tell us, that should give us a little inside picture of the good pleasure of God's will. It's good for us.
Yeah.
It's good for us.
Yeah. Yeah, and he literally he gives us everything that we need, right, to make it. I kind of associate it to, you know, you're driving down a road and there's a bridge on the road and the bridge is out, but there's no sign. You know, that's trouble. Like, I'm just going the way that I think I'm okay, and then off the edge of the bridge I go. In the kingdom of God, there are so many signs. There are so much demonstration of God's character and his love and his essence and his direction and his making it clear that there's many ways that, you know, are, seem right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. We could look at all of those things. We could look at all the liberties he's created us with, the ability to have free volition, and then we could choose in our free volition to ignore all those things that God put in front of us that would prevent us from a disastrous result. But instead, many times we use our free volition to choose what would benefit us in our short-sighted, limited understanding, and we end up in disaster, and then we get angry at God for being in disaster. I mean, it's kind of a comical approach, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, there's some real interesting facts, spiritually speaking, that we find in the book of Ephesians. And they list, it's kind of like a list of all of the spiritual benefits and all of the wonderful blessings which the believer possesses because of being, you know, being placed in Christ. Mm. That phrase that Paul refers to so often in his epistles, in Christ.
Yes.
And let me just read a few of them. Ephesians 3:11 says, according to God's eternal purpose in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, according as God has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:7, according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 3:16, according to the riches of his glory. And this just goes on throughout the book of Ephesians. And, you know, when you carefully consider these verses, and we find them not only in the book of Ephesians, but elsewhere in the epistles, it tells us the source and the measure of all of the believer's benefits and blessings, which should fill our hearts with wonder and praise and amazement and thanksgiving, not with any skepticism or doubt as to what God can do and does for the sinner who is saved by his infinite, matchless grace. But, you know, these are the blessings of God. The good pleasure of God's will only ends up being the channel whereby we receive all these great benefits and blessings.
Yeah, and then, you know, again, coming back to the character and the nature of God, right? That the benefits that are given to us, the blessings that are available to us, the nature. And, you know, the question would be asked, well, shouldn't God be considerate of what others want in this world? You know, shouldn't God consider what my desires are? And I think he really does. He is very considerate of what we want. He just tells us, if you want to have something that has eternity in it, then you have to get to know my character and my nature, because that's what gives you the evaluation process that helps you see what's worthwhile pursuing and what's unworthy of pursuit. And, you know, I think we're stuck sometimes in this world of thinking about things that are not in Christ, right? Not in all of those things, you know, according to. I love those phrases that you just read from Ephesians, because there are principles of truth, and then he says, you are who you are because of those principles of truth, right? You know, we have been, it's been defined for us who we are in Christ when we receive him. You know, that we receive a new character and a new nature, and that our minds can be renewed daily. Our spirits can be renewed daily by the refreshing of our minds, that we can have Christ's mind for situations instead of our own. That we can, you know, we were talking this morning in our devotional with the teachers, you know, what is our objective in life and how do we pursue it? And then if we really are, as believers, recognize that we are ambassadors of Christ. The only thing that's valuable to people is what Christ is working in us, because everything else is just opinion, and it might be nice. You might have a nice character, but it's very short-lived, right? But the things of Christ are eternal. And then we said, okay, so what is it that our relationship from Christ, what is it based on, our union in Christ? And it's really based in crucifixion. So, you know, if this is truly the way that we are based in crucifixion, like crucifixion is what gives us our value. We are crucified with Christ, nevertheless we live, yet not I, but Christ that lives within me. If I don't believe that, if I don't have resurrection in my life, if I don't have crucifixion in my life, what do I have that has any value? Right. And at the same time, because I do have crucifixion in my life, but it causes me to have resurrection life, I actually live. And then I'm not offended by the world. I'm not offended by people. I'm not offended by a tough situation in my job, or I'm not offended by a lack. You know, all those things are real to me and I feel the pain or the weight of them, but I can give them to God and say, I'm in your plan. I know that you have a provision. So therefore, I'm going to trust you.
Mm. And it does come down to, as you said, trusting God that way.
Yes.
You know, the prophet Jeremiah reminds us with verses that a lot of believers are familiar with. In the 29th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, beginning in verse 11, he says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you the prospect of a blessed future. Then you'll call upon me and you'll go and pray unto me and I'll hearken unto you. You'll seek me. And you'll find me when you search for me with your whole heart. That, in a nutshell, tells us that God only has our good behind his heart.
Yes.
And that's his intention. It's to bless us. It's to give us a rich and full and the prospect of a blessed future. I don't know who in their right mind wouldn't want that. I mean, this is, you know, and when you get into, as we mentioned, the book of Ephesians, the third verse of the first chapter, right at the opening of Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, he says, God has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. Verse 2 says, according as he has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Christ to himself, all of this according to the good pleasure of his will.
Yes.
And it goes right back to what you said in the opening comments, something that you're grateful that you learned. I think that we're all grateful that we've learned it or we're learning it. And that's, God's thoughts are nothing like our thoughts.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, and we could deceive ourselves by thinking that we have, you know, we know what we need. I know what's best for me, right?
Yeah.
I have no idea what's best for me. I have a concept, and it's based in my lack, or you know, an overflow of confidence that comes from an overflow of some area that I think I'm prepared in. But God's ways are so much higher than my ways, and this is why it's essential that we trust Him. Because even as a child growing up, you know, when we're young, we have enforced discipline. There are things that our parents tell us to do. You know, did you brush your teeth before you went to bed? Did you wash your hands after you went to the bathroom? You know, all those little things that as a child we learn become habit for us and they become genuine disciplines because it's needed, right? Now, we could say there's all kinds of things in the scripture that are revealed to us. And thank God we are in a place where we have free rein to study this word, you know, these precious promises. We're not in a place where, as of yet, we're prevented from fellowshipping around the word and from reading the word and sharing the word and being able to talk to people about the word. Because really in this book is all the things that help us see the character and nature of God that would lead us to a decision. You know, you ask, who wouldn't want to have these? Well, somebody who has pride, you know, their own pride that they think that they know better. Somebody who has ignorance, they just have no clue that God has already laid out some valuable things. The will of God is in this book, you know. Do we know the perfect will of God in every area of our life? No, I think there's a chunk of our life that we don't know the perfect will of God for, but I think the way we find out the perfect will of God is by living in the part that we do know, and that is the book, you know, the study and to show yourself approved a workman that needeth not be ashamed, learning how to rightly divide the word of truth, just having fellowship with God and with people around God, being fixed on his heart instead of our own. And these are things that are going to put us in a place where we are available to hear from God, to be led specifically in those other areas. And that is his good pleasure. That is his will. You know, his will and those desires are for us, right?
Yes.
If we don't put ourselves in a place where we see what's important to God, we're not going to have the right kind of desires in the first place, and they won't be God's desires. Mm.
And the question, another question posed to us to ask to our listeners, well, why should we accept and trust his goodness? And my response to that would be, well, why wouldn't we?
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like, you know, you're standing at a crossroads in your life, and you have one person who is saying, listen, if you come in this direction, you know, I can't promise you that things will go well. Mm-hmm. There may be heartache, there may be trouble, there may be problems, there may be difficulties, but I can't give you any promises that things will be good for you and that all will be well. And then we have the other option, and God says, I'm not going to lie to you. You will have trouble. There will be heartache. It will not be easy.
Yes.
There'll be challenges. I will test you and develop you along the process. But I promise you that everything is going to work together for your good.
Yes.
I promise you that you will find peace in the midst of your troubles and life storms. I promise you that I will get you through some of the more difficult challenges that you'll face. The difference is, you know, one option when you reach that fork in the road promises you nothing.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, well, we can read God's promises.
Yes.
And as you said, he might not reveal every aspect of his perfect will for our lives, but there will be enough light that he gives us to walk in what he wants us to do. And then, as we heard Pastor Schaller recently share Psalm 36, verse 9, in his light, we will see more light.
Yes.
Because the path of the just is as a shining light.
Shine
it
brighter.
Shines more and more
unto
the perfect day. So you're going to get light. You're not going to stumble. You know, there's a way that seems right unto him, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
That's right.
But, you know, the wicked, those who want to live independently of God, they're going to walk in darkness, and they're not even going to know at what they're stumbling.
Yeah, amen to all of that. That's the very heart of this issue, I think, is what you just expressed, Pastor Love. And I think it's important that we remind ourselves and our listeners today maybe that in this world we will have trouble.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing in the Bible that says, I will take you out of trouble. But he does want to take us through the trouble.
Yes.
Right? In this world we will have trouble. But we also are guaranteed a great navigation device, right? Like, he sends us his comforter in John 14:26, and that comforter leads us in all truth, and it reminds us, the Holy Spirit reminds us of the things of God. So in the midst of all that trouble that we have in this world, we can either, you know, and this is kind of a big thing in life today with parents, with families, like avoid all conflict, avoid all, you know, we want to have nothing that could be considered troublesome for my child. And it's like, no, that's not the way it works. Child's going to be faced with all kinds of problems and troubles, but thank God we can face that with the mind of God. We can learn how to navigate through life having the right thoughts, having the thoughts that Christ has for us. And when we face trouble or unjust situations or strongholds that come against us, we can do it with the full armor of God rather than unprepared or wishing upon myself some kind of absence of trouble. Oh, we bring the trouble because God's going to lead me through and around it, and I'm going to grow from it to the place where I learn more about trusting him.
Yeah, and I think it's important for our listeners to know, too, that when we get in those tight places, difficult circumstances, where we can just feel and sense the anxiety welling up in our souls, We don't live our lives with this promise that whenever we face difficulty, God will get it out of the way.
That's right.
But as you said, it's that word through. He will always get us through it. Mm. And sometimes as we look back after having gotten through it, we realize that God did something wonderful in our lives. He developed something within our souls that might have been lacking. He strengthened our faith.
That's right.
He established our goings. There's so many good things that we learn when we go through the tests and the trials and the difficulties of life. But the great thing is that we're not going through them alone.
That's right.
He's with us. And as you said, he is the pilot. You know, I read a beautiful story about a brother who boarded an aircraft and sat down and, you know, flight took off. And he noticed that as he was getting on the aircraft, a close friend of his was the pilot. And he knew this pilot, and he knew that the pilot had tremendous experience. He was in the military for a number of years, and he has been a commercial airline pilot for decades. And he knew him. But they went through some turbulence during the flight, and he said that the person beside him was really, you know, falling apart.
Yeah.
And just saying, but he said to him, he said, listen, I just want to comfort you because I know the pilot.
Mm.
And I know how gifted he is. I know how talented he is. I know how experienced he is. I know that he's flown through many combat missions successfully, and he's been a commercial pilot for decades. I just want you to know that he's great. I mean, we should be able to say to those that are trusting Christ, you know, I know the pilot.
Very
good. You know the pilot.
Yes.
And when you know the pilot, you can relax.
Yeah. Very good. Very well stated. And I think that's kind of what my thought was. Why should we accept and trust his goodness? You know, number one, because God created us. He loves us. And we can trust that he has a better outcome for our lives than we could ever imagine. He is able to keep us, right? Like you just said, we know the pilot. We know we are in good hands. Now, it doesn't mean that we might have to, you know, we might not have to put on our seatbelts and go through some turbulence, but we can do that knowing that the pilot is who he is and that we're gonna persevere through that. God has a plan for each individual. And even when things seem difficult or painful, it's part of a larger benevolent design. Like God has a design for us that we are gonna, and you think about silver or gold, silver and gold doesn't become usable to a person or glorious to look at until it's been burned and all the dross been taken out of it. It would be a painful process if there was nerve endings involved in that, right? And it's the same in our lives. Like we think of people, we go, wow, what a beautiful person, you know, and I can think of different ones in the body of Christ. Like what a genuine, sweet person. We were speaking off air, but our friend Diane Garbrecht went home to be with the Lord. And I was thinking, I had a chance to just chat with her son a little bit. And I was thinking that this woman was completely filled with God's kindness and genuineness. You know, like when you spoke to her, you just, I don't know, I've knew her for a lot of years and I can't think of ever hearing a negative statement from her, number one. And number two, just being edified by the kindness and the thought process and the, you know, just the love of God came out of this woman. And that is somebody who knew the character and nature of God, right? And that doesn't mean that she didn't have to go through troubles or trials in her life. It just meant she had predetermined that as I go through these trials and troubles, and I never heard her say this, but you could see it results in her life that I'm determined to reveal Christ no matter what happens in my life. And this is something that, why should I trust God and why should we accept his goodness? Well, because the fruit of it will be sweet and genuine and usable for the kingdom of God instead of me building some little kingdom to myself that's going to fall over.
I often in my life reflect upon the relationship between Abraham, the father of our faith, and his nephew Lot. Mm. I think Abraham, I guess you could say he represents the spiritually minded man, because his trust was in God. Lot, on the other hand, maybe he represents the carnal Christian.
Yes.
And when they were faced with a great challenge because there was conflict that was taking place between Abram's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen, and they just weren't getting along, which happens in the lives of families and even churches, right?
Sure.
They weren't
does.
Getting along. So Abraham suggests that they part ways. And I think he did that because I think he realized that if we were separate from each other physically, it will keep us from being separate from each other spiritually. Mm. He didn't want that to happen.
That's right.
He didn't want to be separated in his heart from Lot. So he said, let's just go our separate ways. But he gave the option to Lot and said, you choose. You know, you can choose, and then I'll take what's left. Mm. And the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that Lot lifted up his eyes and looked towards the well-watered plains of the Jordan and pitched his tent towards the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, we know that that was a disastrous decision.
It really was.
But yet, this was the representation of a man who was walking by sight. Abraham, on the other hand, is walking by faith. God is leading him. The good pleasure of God is leading Abraham.
Yes.
And he's willing to accept it. And then God sits down with Abraham and he says, now, Abraham, lift up your eyes. Look to the north, the south, the east, and the west. And as far as you can see, it's all yours.
Wow.
Come on.
Wow.
What a picture of someone who says, I will trust God with my life.
Yes.
I trust that God will choose for me better than I could choose for myself.
Mm.
I mean, if you caught up with Lot later, I mean, after those cities were destroyed, his wife was turned to a pillar of salt, his own children they were successful. He was inebriated and committed incest with, I mean, Lot, did you see that coming? Not a chance.
Yeah. And actually, do we have the discipline or do we have the ability to live a life like Abraham where we could say, I don't know, by sight, I could be getting the short end of the stick here, right? Because he really could have said that.
It would have been his choice.
It would have been.
He was the elder.
Absolutely. It was rightfully, he could choose as he wanted. But I think it's important to note or to reiterate what you just said, that he didn't want there to be distance between him and his relationship, so he chose the higher ground.
Yes.
You know, and it's such a lesson for us as young people in the Lord, you know, like we choose ways that could either be profitable to us or to the kingdom of God. And the irony of it is that if we choose the kingdom of God, every single time it'll end up being profitable to us because it has eternal value. When we try to have eternal value, or we try to get some kind of kingdom built unto ourselves, we miss out on the eternal value of the situation. It's really, and you know, now we understand why it is that God says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and daily and follow me, right?
Mm.
And also that if we try to keep our lives, we'll lose it. But if we lose our lives for his sake, we gain it. Because what we can't see is really very often the kingdom of God just waiting to be given to us. And if we can defer to Christ and defer to God and say, I trust you, I will go your ways, then we'll be blessed. If we try to do what's right in our own eyes, then we end up in death and we end up in some misery that he never foresaw.
Mm.
And if you were to ask him later on, did you choose the better way? I think if he was honest, he'd have to say, no, I chose with my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham chose with the mind of Christ. And look where we ended up.
Yeah. And of course, you know, when Lot gets in a lot of trouble and kings invade those cities and take him captive, who comes to his rescue? Abraham.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. He could have said, I told you so.
Oh, yeah. Or how about this one? Well, you got what you deserve.
Yeah.
Right? All so often we hear believers say that when they hear about the trouble in other people's
lives.
Well, it's because of their bad decisions. It's because they're just getting what they deserve. They're reaping what they've sown. All of that may be true, but that doesn't lessen the fact that we have a responsibility to reach out to them in their time of need, restore them, refresh them, encourage them, help them to get back on their feet.
And if God really dealt with us that way, which of us could stand?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
They got what they deserved. Man, if that's my mantra, I'm in big trouble.
Yeah.
Because it's only a matter of moments in my life, in my day, that I'm not doing something that God could just lambaste me over.
Yeah.
And I do it sometimes out of willful ignorance, and sometimes I do it out of ignorant ignorance. You know, I just don't even know how far off from the things of God I am. And that's why I love that the principle of in the light, more things are revealed, because when we're walking in the light, we start to see, wow, I am far off. I didn't even realize how far off I was, right? But And it makes sense why the devil wants to keep us from hearing his, for hearing God's word and from being in fellowship with people that live by God's word. Because if he can keep people in the dark, quite literally, keep them in the dark about things, there's never going to be any crucifixion or any resurrection or any joy or any peace. There's just going to be self-preservation, building kingdoms unto ourselves, and letting our own will be the thing that rules. And really, this is the mantra of modern-day Satanism, right? Anything that you want, such as unto the law, you know, whatever you want. Live by whatever you want. It's all about you. It's all about us being satisfied. And Christ says, I will not enforce my will on you so that you have to follow my ways. But I will tell you, if you follow my ways, you will have joy and peace that lasts everlasting.
Mm. It's no wonder why Jesus said, you know, if you're going to follow me, you got to deny yourself. Because by denying ourselves, we deal with the greatest obstacle in our lives to get to God and to receive these blessings, which is, of course, ourselves.
Yes.
I mean, we know that he saved us to so that we wouldn't become victimized by the devil, the flesh, the world system. But perhaps our greatest enemy is ourselves.
Absolutely.
Because we are so bent so often on trying to get our own way because we just have this unfounded understanding that somehow we will be able to navigate our way through even the most trying of circumstances when God says, you know, you could just trust me.
Yeah.
You know, acknowledge me in all your ways, and I promise you I'll direct your paths.
When has it ever turned out better to not follow God's ways than it has following God's ways? I can't even think of a single circumstance in my life, you know, and maybe somebody gets like the benefit of a decision for the moment, like God in his permissible will allows somebody to experience some temporal pleasure. But what are they sacrificing? They're sacrificing, you know, the immediate for the eternal. And they don't even necessarily see that. You know, we're so stuck in our little worlds that we say, look at this, I'm enjoying every part of it, but it's momentary. Mm. And, you know, we, as people of God, you know, we live sometimes in meager situations, or we just pass up what could be a very self-benefiting way in order to follow God. Now, we also find that at the end of that, we have richness and peace and confidence that comes from God that you couldn't put a price tag on it, right? We go to bed at night and our hearts were full because we say, wow, we walked with God in the details of life today. And we were speaking at the staff meeting yesterday a little bit about this, but Christianity is more than just a Sunday message to a Sunday message, right? It's everything that happens in between during the chaos. And Pastor Scheller alluded to this several weeks back in messages. And we, when we're walking with God, are part of that day-to-day navigation light plan for believers and for others to be able to fellowship in so that we get to see the divine revelation of who God is now on earth and in our lives, rather than just be stuck in some kind of self-serving, self-preservation that ends up in misery. It's empty. It's void. You know, how many people have won great awards or great amounts of money, or how many people have won the lottery and commit suicide? They can't take all the people, you know, asking them for things. And it's just a miserable existence, you know.
I think when we try to find what the definition is for his good pleasure, I think you could sum it up in one word. It's grace.
Yes.
It's God giving us exactly what we mm-hmm. don't deserve. Mm-hmm. And it's mercy. It's God not giving us what we do deserve.
Yes.
And it's the plan of God. It's the will of God. And I just know in my heart that, you know, God's plans are good and they're better than any plans that I could ever, you know, bring to the table.
Yeah.
And to follow him wholeheartedly, as Proverbs 3:5-6 says, you know, with all your heart, you follow mm-hmm. him. And acknowledge him in all of your ways. And I think the word all is you know, found in those verses two or three times. He's looking for a wholehearted approach to following his good pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do, the great promise from God is there's always going to be sufficient grace, regardless as to what you go through.
Yeah, amen. I mean, we think about Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, right? It says, "For it is God which works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure." It's God that works in us both to will and to do what is his good pleasure. Like, why would he waste his time doing that, right? Who does God want to have a relationship with? He doesn't need robots, right? Robots have no life, no activity. He chose us, sinners saved by grace, with weaknesses and failures, with strengths, with, you know, characters. He made us to be characters, that's for sure. We have all kinds of characteristics. Those characteristics can be given to God and used by God for his glory. And when you think about all the disciples and the different aspects of who they were and what were their strengths and what were their weaknesses and how did they get along? And, you know, I mean, you can imagine traveling in tight quarters with the same group of people over time, doing exhausting things, and would have been a lot of flesh, but they had to realize that whatever they're doing has to be for the will of God, has to be to see what Christ has to reveal next, or why has he called us to this plan? He's got to have some reason for calling. He has a reason. He has eternity. He's revealing to us day after day after day. He's telling us a little more, revealing a little more. I'm going to die. I'm going to go to the cross. But he didn't spell it out for them. He just said, trust me, follow me. He spoke to them in parables, but they got to know the characteristics of the God that they were following, and they experienced the great life.
There's a beautiful promise in Psalm 16, verse 11, which says, God, you will show me the path of life. Mm. And in your presence, there is the fullness of joy. At your right hand, pleasures forevermore.
Yes.
This whole idea that, you know, God is out to rob people of pleasure is absolute folly. He promises that there will be pleasures at his right hand forevermore. He promises us that he's going to bring us down a path of life. Mm. He promises us fullness of joy. Who would want to, you know, turn their back on such promises? I mean, we know that Moses in Hebrews chapter 11, he turned his back on the pleasures that were seasonal, that the world offered, that Egypt offered him, and rightly so. Yeah. But I think that every believer is faced with a choice, and the choice is really simple. You can choose the pleasures of this world, which are temporary, momentary, fleeting, right, seasonal, or the pleasures at the right hand of God, which are forevermore. We would be crazy. I'll just use that word.
Yeah.
Crazy to make any other choice other than to say, look, I'm going to give my heart to God. I'm going to follow him. I'm going to seek first his kingdom. I'm going to make his kingdom the priority of my life. And then the rest of my life will be ordered under that one great priority. And I believe that God will just meet all my needs and bless me beyond my wildest expectations.
Yeah, and to boil it down into a nutshell, maybe there's a young person out there today saying, I'm at the beginning of my life. I have to make my next decisions. What am I going to do for my life's work? How am I going to follow? What relationships am I going to become involved in? What am I going to see as important? What am I going to dedicate my time? What's my objective? What are my goals? We can tell you to trust God with your whole heart, as you said. Trust him with all of your heart. Acknowledge him with all of your ways. He'll direct our paths. And those paths that he directs us down might not be completely free of potholes or dirt on the road as our feet, as you mentioned in chapel this morning, but they are absolutely the way that leads unto life. And that life is eternal, and it is for us, and he is trustworthy. So we could say to a young person, you know, they say, well, you know, is God proud for not letting me let my will go forward? No, actually, God will give us, if we want to live in our own will, he'll certainly step aside and let us live in our own will, but then we are in our own consequences. We know what God says about trust in the Lord with all your heart. He'll direct your paths. We know because of his character, because he loves us and has called us, that his way will be pleasant. It might be difficult, it might be challenging, but it's okay because in the midst of that difficulty and challenge, we'll have a close relationship with the one who's called us, and he'll lead us and guide us, and we'll come out on the other side through the problem with the glory of God revealed to us instead of avoiding the problem and missing out on what God has for us in our personal fellowship.
And we know that that will be the case because of his promises.
Mm-hmm.
We have his promises.
That's right.
When you say, I'm going to do my own thing, I'm going to live the life that I want to live, I don't want God to be calling the shots in my life. That kind of a choice comes with no promises.
Oh, man.
There's no guarantees that you won't end up destroying your soul or addicted to something that you could have never foreseen you would ever become a part of. There's no promises there. Mm. I'd rather, you know, fall on the side of the promises of God, which just gives me great hope. It's kind of like what the prophet Jeremiah said, with God, there is always the prospect of a blessed future. Mm. I'll take the blessed future instead of an uncertain future.
Yeah. And we could say that I'm choosing to live my own life, but it's a misnomer because I'm not choosing to live my own life. I'm choosing to live my own way. And that the way is not going to end up in life. If it's not based in God's eternal system, it's not going to end up with any kind of longstanding joy or happiness. What am I passing on to my children? You know, what am I passing on? What is my legacy going to be in this world? My legacy in this world is going to be that little dash between the digits of born on and end on was spent completely trusting God and watching him in every area of my life reveal himself faithful over and over again. At the end of it all, we go home without regret, and we stand before the throne of God, and we say, thank you for using us. And he says, well done. You know, well done. You followed me. You acknowledged me. And this is the cry of our hearts today, that in our lives we would affect people in a way that they know that we are tuned into what God's mind is for our lives. And that's what gives us hope in our relationships.
And on that note, friends, we'll close today's Grace Hour broadcast. Thank God that he does act according to his good pleasure. We have been the beneficiaries of that. He's the benefactor. We're the beneficiaries, and we certainly enjoy all of the blessings
and all the gifts.
We'll take it. We're more than available.
That's right.
Thank you so much for joining us, friends. We hope you have a great day, great afternoon, great evening, wherever you may be tuning in and listening to the broadcast. And we want to encourage you to come back and join us tomorrow for the Thursday, a live edition of the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. Thank you for joining us. Have a great day.